Hello everyone, and welcome back to our second episode of our three series podcast for the NSPCC. It is good to have you with us here again today. My name is Brigine McManus, and we're here again with Margaret Gallagher. Thank you again, Margaret, for joining us. It is so lovely to have you back.
Thanks very much for having me back.
That's great. So today we're going to be talking, obviously, about online abuse, bullying, how to beat it. I think it's something that's really, really important to talk about at the minute, especially in the times we're in, where a lot of kids have been on their phones through lockdown. And so, Margaret, first of all, if you'd like to maybe kind of give us a wee bit of info on the dangers of bullying and an online presence and things that maybe you have seen yourself over the years.
Well, I suppose I want to start off by saying that the online world's a fantastic world. It's part of children and young people's everyday life.
Yeah.
It's amazing for all sorts of reasons in terms of contacting people, faraway friends, interests, learning and everything. But it is an adult place.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the risks that are there are kind of twofold. One, because of the way the nature of the internet and online services have developed, safeguarding hasn't really been built into it. So a lot of the work the NSPCC does at a national level is to lobby and to push for more regulation. That safeguarding should be the first thing that was thought about when you're designing an app, a site or whatever, and not an afterthought. And it's a bit like the horse is bolted. We're trying to, closing the gate now.
Completely. Reactive as opposed to proactive in the sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's been a real challenge. And we continue to lobby for that. We have policy teams who are really, really proactive, working with others to try and get the government to help, you know, push these companies to be responsible. Because we know that children and young people are on it from a very young age. So say it's a great place. So there's that aspect of it. And then there's the behaviour online.
Yeah.
So there are things that are like, there's sites that are going to be naturally risky to be on. They're mainly adult sites, but there's a lot of behaviours then online that are on places where children are, you know, kind of doing like gaming or on just social media chatting to each other. And I suppose one of the big concerns, and it's always a big concern for the NSPCC and Childline in particular, and will always be in our top 3 to 5 issues that is reported, is bullying.
Mm-hmm.
So bullying can happen in face-to-face, we know that, or it can happen online, or it can be a combination of the two. And I suppose for us, what we know is that bullying is things like sending upsetting messages, making comments, editing images online, taking screenshots, re-editing them, you know, putting them up again, or just name calling and spreading of rumours. But there's also things like exclusion.
Yes.
Where you know that your friends are, you know, you've got your friends kind of WhatsApp group or your Instagram, but you know that they're running a parallel account that you're not included on. Mm. So you know there are conversations happening away from you. And what's really interesting is actually the adults can find that hard to understand if your child comes to your young person and says, you know, they've got another WhatsApp group and I'm not in it, or I know they're talking about it and I'm not there. And most parents will be like, kind of, oh, you know, forget about it. Just forget about them. Mm-hmm. Get on with it.
Yep.
But being excluded has been shown to have the same impact on the child's mental health and well-being as if they were like literally being ignored in the real world, or in fact nearly the same impact if they were being hit in the real world.
Absolutely.
It actually has a really bad impact on their mental health and well-being. So we know that there's gaming and there's also issues there around kind of inappropriate content being shared, maybe thinking it's funny to share maybe a younger child or more naive child, like inappropriate adult content links being sent. And that's kind of things that I came across. I deliver online safety workshops to parents and in workplaces across Northern Ireland and have been for 5 years. So we've seen also instances where, say, you know, manipulating an image and replacing an adult image with a child's photo of a child that they've taken, they've screenshotted off the internet. And some of these are actually could be leading into offences as well.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes young people don't realise there are, you know, there are
the legalities
offenses
around it. Absolutely. Yeah. They do not understand that even writing something, it actually is, it's a breach of, it's not necessarily where, well, the law anyway is that it's a breach of the Telecommunications Act, where that they are doing something that's going against that, and they don't realise at all. And I think certainly needs to be more of understanding of that. And in terms of the online bullying, and I know that online bullying has sort of nearly overtaken the sort of offline bullying, if you say it in a way, but in terms of the the apps that are out there. You know, there's Instagram, there's now TikTok, there's Snapchat. From a, I suppose from a school teacher perspective, Snapchat before lockdown was a huge, huge problem for us in school, where a lot of the messages were disappearing. And so it's very difficult for children then to prove that they're having these issues as well. What advice would you give to people in terms of these particular methods of online bullying?
I think for young people, there's two things. One is learning how to either block that person, or yeah. you know, if you're getting the messages, or how to report them if it gets to the point
yes.
Where you feel that you need help with it. I think one of the other issues is that they either talk and seek support.
Yes.
And actually know the limitations of the device. What can they do? How can they limit?
Yes.
Say you were putting up a YouTube video, making sure that people can't make comments under that.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. I think Snapchat and those types of sort of disappearing images and messages are very, very difficult to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst it can be really hard, we would know that some children would rather stay online yeah. being bullied than be offline.
It's just society now that we love so much yeah. of it there that they don't want to nearly leave it. And that would nearly be a good thing, to take those breaks away from it.
Yeah, well, that would be healthy. And that's why I think a lot of the schools do a lot of work around this. Yes. I mean, most children we talk to, and my own included, will have had sessions and people talking about taking themselves offline,
yes.
having a healthy balance of time away. And I think that is a good thing to try and encourage. And I think it's like something, it's nearly like your diet, like eat five fruits a day, you know, take so many breaks a day. I think the other thing is that for young people as well, to have those conversations. Some of them are bystanders. Yeah. You know, we have the people being bullied, but we have other people who are watching that.
Very much so. I think the saying goes that if you don't do anything about it at all, you're as much as involved in a way if you bystand and watch, but you know, watch it. It is certainly a very difficult world for young people now. And I always say I'm glad nearly that I'm not at school now, because I don't know how I would cope with it. And I say to the children, you're nearly braver and better than me, because I wouldn't find it difficult to cope with. Now, obviously, that we've got the online dealings, that online bullying, but then we've also have to think there is still the usual name calling and the physical bullying that can go on in school, but also bullying doesn't just happen in school. It can also happen in the home. Is that right?
Can happen anywhere. And I suppose people would talk to you even about siblings that are,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
And as you say, you've mentioned earlier on that the kind of notion of this kind of banter or the bants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I think we do need to challenge, that it doesn't matter why you start calling it a different name.
Yeah.
If the behaviour is disrespectful,
yes.
if the behaviour makes someone feel like upset or concerned or worried, or they feel you know, so upset that it's affecting their mental health and well-being, those are all things that are bullying, regardless of what you want to call it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if you can't hack it, like, don't be on here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it okay just yeah. because you call it something different. And it can be relentless, 24 hours a day, and there can be messages popping up at night and people think it's funny. And I think what we have to really reinforce, and there's Anti-Bullying Week every year, which is brilliant,
mm-hmm.
and there's the Anti-Bullying Alliance across the UK, absolutely fantastic resources for anyone, whether it's schools or for a child,
yes.
to go on and read about this and understand yeah. again, this is not okay.
No.
It is always unacceptable.
It is always unacceptable. And I feel too that, like, obviously I know about Andy and the Odd Socks. He's doing that a lot of, you know, Andy Day from CBeebies, he's doing a lot of things to promote that. If you have to be an individual and be yourself. And I think a lot of people are picked upon online and offline for maybe, you know, having a talent, being good at something, standing out from the crowd, or being seen as different. And it's about, really, as well, I don't know what you think about this, but about trying to make people have confidence in themselves, to be themselves, and to realize that people bullying them are projecting their own issues, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, what you'd want to see as well is, and I know a whole kind of school or whole society approach, is that we also try and understand why some people feel it's okay to do this.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen recently adults who've gone back and apologised
yes.
to other adults who they are now, but they were children, and when they've understood themselves, the impact.
Yeah.
And it can come from a place of low self-esteem themselves, but it can also come from a place of just, it's been normalised.
Very much so.
So, you know, the online world has given us a new, we talk about, we have our campaign around the policy of this
yeah.
called the Wild West Web, because
very good.
Basically, it's like that. It's like the Wild West.
It's on monitors, yeah.
And parents, for the most part, you know, we really don't know what's going on, and we do need to be involved in our child's lives to the point that they're safe and well.
Yeah.
And it's all very well being, you know, and I think parents are kind of sometimes caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yes,
we don't want to go back to very restrictive, over controlling parents. And we talk about this in our online safety workshops. You can have parents who are very, very controlling. Don't let the children on. And that isn't protecting them either.
No,
because they're not. Well, you know, it's one way of doing it, but they're not building the resilience.
Totally.
Communication is the key. That your child knows you love and care about for them, and that's why you're talking about the online world. I'm laughing in my head here when I think of my three children and how they perceive me talking to them. It isn't supposed to be a big lecture. What we'd encourage parents is not to be so casual, though, too. It's like, oh, you know, I'm your friend. This is all good fun.
Yeah.
And also parents' behaviour online sometimes isn't great themselves.
Exactly. You have to obviously model, practice what you preach and model a good example.
Yeah.
I suppose as well, in terms of abuse and you know, that there's a very dark side to it as well, like online grooming, which does go on too. And it's kind of making people aware of, with bullying and abuse, but there's grooming that goes on too. And I think that what you said about the key thing about communication, where parents are talking to their children about this and it not where they're not naive about it.
Yeah. We have seen a rise in online grooming, and I have to say online seeking indecent images of children. As soon as lockdown happened, it was recorded by the police internationally. And therefore, there was an increased risk to children.
Yes.
We have actually very young children that are on devices that are unsecured. There's no settings on them to block cameras. There's no settings to restrict who they're talking to. People are letting them on TikTok. They're letting them on Instagram, whatever. You know, some of the most extreme images of children are on Instagram and Facebook. They're not on the dark web.
No.
They're not far, far away.
No.
They're a few clicks away from your child's eyes. Mm. And if you are not involved, and it is a parent issue, and there's actually, we talked about neglect in the last podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
There's an aspect called e-neglect, where you're, you know, online, you're not protecting your children from the online world. You've paid for a device and you've given them a device. It's in your name and you're paying a bill for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they could go on to YouTube. They can go onto these sites, be talking to people, even within the gaming, Roblox, all sorts of different types of games that enable chatting to people around the world. And if you are not involved in your child's life, and if they're in a room for hours and hours on end, particularly younger children, you know, are you given a window of an opportunity for somebody to reach them? Yes, you are.
For sure. And it's terrifying to say all this, but the reality is it's the truth. And it needs to be addressed. It needs to be put out there, you know.
And I think, you know, with the pandemic, everybody sort of stood down the rules. Children that would never have been given a tablet were getting it. Children who were never allowed social media accounts. And it was needed for their mental health and well-being.
To communicate.
You know, and we had everybody's granny on TikTok doing the dances. Well, apart from me, but I'm not a granny yet.
I'm not on TikTok either, don't worry.
Well, I'm on it, but and I see really weird stuff. Because the thing is, you know, I might be getting ads for, you know, holidays and for sort of saga holidays and all the things. But my children are getting targeted for other things. And there are, I say, the online grooming is there. We have a number of very, very high profile cases in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
People want to think of this as being somewhere else. It happens in the, you know, America. It happens somewhere else. We've had a number of cases recently in Northern Ireland where young people, young adults, they were not older people, were reaching very young children and were getting them to share images and videos. And we have to look up and start saying, this is not a shock value where then I go, oh my God, look at that. Oh my God. You talk to your child once and say, make sure nothing like that's happening. This is ongoing small bits of checking in, reassuring them that if they ever do anything, that you'll be there to help them.
Absolutely.
So they might make a mistake. They might have sent a picture. They might have said something. Because in a grooming process, that love may be part of it. And this person will be very interested in your child and maybe find a connection through sport or music or anything else. You need to be there with your child, being interested in what they're doing online.
Yeah.
Not to the point that you're invasive and you're not respectful of their private space, particularly as they're teenagers, but you're a parent and it's about parenting online.
Absolutely. You have to check in. You have to be responsible for them. And I totally agree with that.
And also what they're seeing, a lot of them are watching adult content.
Yes.
It's unrestricted. Many years at the very start, people may have had to pay for stuff.
No.
Not anymore.
So available.
So again, for a child's development, what they're seeing and explaining why that's not okay and why, you know, making the device as safe as possible.
Yeah.
What are the privacy settings?
Yeah.
What are the blocks? when you set up some of these accounts, you have to opt into the privacy settings. Mm-hmm. So anyone could be searching for, you know, girls dancing, things, certain things that they know young children and younger people are attracted to. And even things like when they're going online, say they're exploring their sexuality, maybe they're going to sites, because we don't have brilliant sites for that. We don't have fantastic, when a Childline has, we have great content. Making sure they're aware of sites that are safe.
Yes.
We have things like Young Minds in the UK. Absolutely phenomenal advice for young people around their mental health and wellbeing.
Yeah.
Our own site as well, exploring sexuality, exploring the challenges of friendships. Yeah. Come to a site and come and talk to people that are safe
and reputable and know what they're talking about and aren't going to get you down a situation where you're into something that you shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And that's so important. Well, with again, obviously, all that in mind, I know that you do so much work, and you have touched upon it already about your anti-bullying campaigns and things like that. I know through talking to you before, there's somebody who's done a great campaign for you, and a Scottish campaign, is that correct?
Yeah, we wanted to work more with young people around our local campaigns. I belong to a team across the UK, and one of our team in Scotland, it was actually in Angus, started out with young people to talk about what were the issues they wanted to talk about. There was still, you know, they could have picked any issue, and they picked online bullying. So they explored that themselves. They explored the sort of patterns as well. They looked at the Childline stuff. They looked at all their experiences, and they came up with a campaign. It's an anti-bullying campaign called Think Before You Type.
Very good.
So it worked really well in their local community. It was there was workshops, there was sessions, there was messages, and they designed them all, they approved them all, and they actually did a report that went to the Scottish government.
Fantastic.
To recommend what should happen around this. And I have to say, they got a great welcome. And that's been considered for Scotland now. So it came from a small place, came from a local campaign. It was totally driven by children and young people. They have actually developed it into a toolkit, and they launched it this week. So anyone can take that. We're in Northern Ireland. We could adapt it. So not only did they create a movement at that time for their own community, their own schools and their own area, they've now shared that, and they're going to enable other people to develop their own and deliver your own campaign in your own school or your own community.
I was just about to ask that. Any schools can take this, and where would they get that information for to take that forward?
Well, if NSPCC, and it's Think Before You Type, B and then the number 4 you type.
Oh, very
and if
good.
If you Google that, the toolkit's there. It's downloadable. I just saw it myself there during the week online, and it really gives you a lot of flexibility to tweak it to what's going on in your area. Because actually, when I was down and did online safety workshops across Northern Ireland, I would go to one place and there would be an issue with a certain app in one place, and it wouldn't be an issue in another place.
Absolutely.
And then I went somewhere else and they were saying, no, this is what's causing all the problems.
Different
here,
different trends in different areas. Yes. And they could be only 10 miles down the road, and it could be so different what's going on in the children's lives.
So I think it's an amazing way to scale up and so that energy, that time and effort and knowledge and input, the children, young people leading this campaign can be shared.
Yes.
So it's a much better use of all of our time. And the other thing is, it's great to know the young people were really, truly at the fore of this.
Absolutely.
And I know that can be challenging for adults to make room for those processes to happen. But that's the only way this is going to work, because it's their world. They understand what's going on. We can dip into it. And I spend quite a lot of my time. I deliver online safety workshops. I say, right, tell me now, what's the issue with this? Because I have to go to my 14, 16 and 18 year old.
Yep.
That's who knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
And I think, but what we are, we're parents and we're carers and adults in this world. And we're there to help protect and keep safe. It doesn't mean children are still children in the online world. They still get hurt.
Oh, they do.
They still feel upset when they see stuff. And we have to remember, I think we can think that they're very grown up now. Sure, they're well able to look after themselves. They're not.
Kids.
They're still children.
Absolutely.
They're still finding their way in their world. They're still finding their way in their relationships with each other and with the world. And we have made it complex for them.
Definitely.
But there are benefits to the online world. We're not going to knock it. You know, it's helped a lot of children as well, accessibility and things. But what I would say is it's a work in progress. You don't talk about this once and leave it.
No.
Communicate and talk. And listen.
It absolutely. And because we do forget that this is a new thing. Like, social media and the way we communicate and what children are experiencing now has never happened before. And so they're sort of, in a way, the guinea pigs of how this is going, where we have to work out how to deal with this. It's awful, really.
There's been, and I suppose many years ago, having taught media studies, you know, there was the outcry of the same when cinema came along.
Well, oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's fair enough, I suppose. Yeah.
And TV.
Yeah.
And cars.
That's true. That is true.
You know, people used to walk in front of cars with a flag and people were run over by cars that went 5 miles an hour because they were out watching them. You know, we do have to also remember, but I think it's, we've got the knowledge now, do you know, we have a lot of knowledge around what works. What I would say is the neural pathways, there's some evidence or people are saying that they're actually affecting the brain science, which is a wee bit different. Uh-huh. I just think it's like everything in moderation. And as a parent, creating those opportunities and boundaries with your child. What's okay for you and your family may not be the same for the next family.
No.
And you have to stay strong about what you know is the right place for your child
and for
your family. And just know that in your heart, watch and look at your child and say, are they tired? Are they so tired?
Yeah.
Are they irritable? Are they anxious? Mm-hmm. Are they not stopped talking to me about things? Just listen, listen, and always leave the door open. If a child has done something, and it may have been something that wasn't the best thing to do, let them know they can always come to you. Because what you certainly want them to do is maybe to go to another place that takes them down, as you said, a different path, a worse path. Mm-hmm. And we will be there to help you. And we'll support you. Come to us and talk to us. Talk to the other agencies that are there. There's always a way out and there's always a solution.
Oh, definitely. And I suppose that nicely leads us on to, I would love to hear, I always, you know, wonder, do things be resolved online? And I would love to hear like a good success story or something that you've had, you've experienced as well. Could you tell me something about someone who's been through something online or who's had an issue and that you as an organisation have been able to help them?
Well, I suppose through doing the workshops for parents in Northern Ireland, without describing in great detail, I have come across on a number of occasions, and particularly one young woman who has been relentlessly bullied on Facebook, and her parents were not able to get Facebook to take down fake accounts and that. And we would have a very good working relationship with the police, and around there's police specialist teams in Northern Ireland who work around cybercrime and online safety work, and they're very, very skilled at what they do.
Yeah.
And therefore we were able to put that family in contact with these officers, who were able to then go and would have had a weightier response to talk to Facebook around this, because this was a quite sustained campaign of not one-off bullying, not one-off remarks, not banter or anything it could even be called that. This was real personalised misrepresentation of this girl's character.
Of course,
and it was very, very detrimental to her. So she was 16, she was still a child.
So young.
They were able to address that, and we were able to get that, because the family had really been only communicating with, you know, Facebook over and back.
They weren't
really
getting nowhere.
They didn't really think it was something that could go to the police.
People don't realise. And that's why that example is fantastic, because people then know, you mean I can go and actually do something about this?
Yeah.
And how did that resolve, or what happened?
Well, it would be a private
matter. Yes, of course.
No, but between the police and them, because again, that would be my role was to get those connection made.
Yeah.
So I'm at a workshop, I hear that, I'm able to talk to the person afterwards, I'm able to then pass them that person's details.
But it's great to hear that confidentiality too. You know, even in you've been able to say that, well, it is, because again, people, this is people's lives. It's embarrassing as well when you are bullied.
Yeah.
In any way, it can be incredibly humiliating.
Yeah.
And it can be so embarrassing to even have to talk about it, to deal with it, to have to get others to help you.
Yeah.
The humiliation of that alone is so the confidentiality surrounding that is really important.
Mm.
And
that's all I need to know. I don't need to know the rest.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know sometimes, and sometimes people will come back maybe and tell you, but that's their choice.
Yes, absolutely. And it gives hope to anybody listening out there again. Who is being bullied, you know, you do not have to live with it. And I'm saying that myself to somebody too. You do not have to deal with it. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to listen to it. There are people like yourselves who will be there. There's people you can talk to. And if it needs to go down the road or you need to go to the police, you can. And that's very, very powerful. It gives you the power back, because bullying takes the power away from you and yourself, and I feel very heartened and all that. And the campaign's fantastic as well, that think before you type, because sometimes bullying can simply be where people are just not thinking, and they think it's fun and it's not. It hurts.
And there's also consequences for people who do that, because we know that around 80% of employers and universities are looking at your social media.
Absolutely.
So if you're putting up stuff yourself that maybe isn't okay, or, you know, there's people who have lost their jobs and positions because posts from years ago. Mm-hmm. But young people, we don't believe in criminalising them. And even around that, you know, that's why we would support young people to say, have a wee think, you know, think before you type. Absolutely. For yourself.
Definitely. It's so important. Yeah. And it's a life skill. It's also think before you speak sometimes too. Yeah. We all have to think of those things. Margaret, just again, I always like to end our podcast with a scenario of if I was a child sitting in front of you right now, I was having issues where I was being bullied online by people in my class who were also taking it online through TikTok, through Instagram, through whatever forum they could, and doing it to me in school. What advice would you give to me right now?
Well, what I would say is, it is always back to that talking to someone,
yeah,
finding that safe person,
yes,
whether it's your school teacher, you know, the one that you get on best with, because yeah, often this is about relationships.
Yes.
Who can you trust? Mm-hmm. Who can you tell?
Your form teacher or favourite teacher or somebody, yeah, like that.
And just reading about it and understanding. I mean, coming onto our Childline website, you'll see a lot of content around this, just about it's always unacceptable. And also, when you find that person to trust, think about what you might tell them.
Yeah.
So plan it.
Yes.
Think about what you're going to say. How are you going to describe it? Also, maybe writing down the things that,
yeah,
have happened.
Yeah.
Journal it. Keep it in a wee journal so that you can. It's at hand. You don't have to kind of go back over your head. Did you have it at hand there?
Sometimes you might think you're mad in a way. Like, has this really happened to me? So yeah, that log's so important.
Yeah. And also remembering that, you know, there's privacy settings you can use, blocking users, reporting people. Yeah. But I think that the main thing is that finding that safe person. But for adults, what I would say is that we're all part of this.
Yeah.
So whether you're a youth leader, a teacher, whether you're witnessing it, I know there's a very powerful example. It was in a McDonald's in America where a child's getting pushed around and shoved. Don't be the bystander.
No.
You've got a role to play as well. You know, and I know, so it can be hard. Everybody's like, oh, you know, these
don't
days, that's just how they
involved.
Go on.
Yeah.
But I think we do as adults, we can also see that we have a role to play. And also those people, you know, it's actually really uncomfortable for children to be the bystander. So listen to your own child as well. It may not be them that's been bullied, but it might actually really hurt them to watch it.
Absolutely.
So just checking in. Yeah. But for that young person, just know that you have the right to be safe, to be respected, no matter whether anybody tells you to harden up, that this is how it is. This is, you know, just a bounce. It's not. Yeah. If you feel upset, if you feel embarrassed, if you feel, you might even be laughing along with it because that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. Come away from it and develop a strategy to deal with it. Come to us, go to a person that you trust, and know that there is a way out of it for you.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. There's always a way out. You do not have to suffer in silence with us at all. And on that note, that's the end of our second episode for the podcast. As Margaret said, you can reach out on the NSPCC website, on the Childline website. All the numbers are available there. It's also available on any social media platform for you to gain access to somebody to talk to. Please never suffer in silence, especially with bullying. Margaret, thank you so much again for your wonderful advice and knowledge and kindness. And I really hope to see you, obviously, again in our third episode. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Don't be afraid. Stand tall, don't you be afraid at all. Don't be afraid at all. Don't be afraid at all. Don't be afraid.